Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I need a new person for this black cloud to follow, because while it's over me, it's too dark to see tomorrow. Riding full throttle because my baby's stomach hollow. Air twice as toxic as L.A. smog and thrice as thick as London fog. Asthma's a normality. Poverty's a reality. Turn your back casually. The earth is the biggest casualty.
Bon, bonjour amis automobilistes, le chant des klaxons tourne en boucle. La circulation est déjà très perturbée sur le boulevard Latrie dans le sens André Gogodi. Lenteur.
Abidjan, the largest city in the West African nation of Côte d'Ivoire. It is a country powered by coffee, cocoa, and used cars. Most of the cars here are second-hand. They come from Europe, Asia, and the US. People here call them France au revoir, as in goodbye to the countries they came from. A lot has changed since my first visit here a decade ago. Civil war, deep economic recession, but the most striking change is the air pollution.
Il faut dire que la poussière, bon, puis bon, la fumée fait que bon, ça nous donne la toux, on respire mal, et ça cause problème aux chauffeurs.
Suffocating exhaust, abandoned vehicles, tires far and wide, the impacts are inescapable. For years, driving these polluting vehicles has been a normal part of daily life. Now, a new police force is cracking down on polluting cars and the people who drive them.
Quand je vois des véhicules qui polluent, ça me fait très mal au cœur.
Lieutenant Yao Kofi leads the patrol unit of Unipol, a dedicated anti-pollution police squad created in late 2007, the first of its kind in Africa.
Donc notre rôle, c'est de chercher, rechercher, constater, réprimer conformément au code de l'environnement. Le code de l'environnement interdit l'émission de gaz d'échappement. Voilà. Donc allez refaire votre moteur de telle sorte que ça n'émette plus.
Notre travail ne consiste pas à faire de la répression physique, mais c'est intellectuel. C'est-à-dire au premier abord, celui avec qui on a affaire, il se fâche. Mais quand on commence à expliquer, il comprend effectivement qu'il est en train de détruire le monde tout entier.
Garbage covers the streets and lines the banks of the lagoon. There is no regular pickup service, so people are forced to burn their trash. The fires burn openly, day and night. The cars smoke, the buildings smoke, even the lawn movers smoke. A recent study linked air pollution to rising rates of asthma in Abidjan for the first time. The results were no surprise to respiratory specialists like Dr. Kinyelman Horo.
Les sujets qui seraient plus en contact avec cette pollution, c'est surtout les sujets qui sont dans les bas quartiers. Dans les bas quartiers, mais aussi des sujets qui ont très peu de moyens. Et donc, automatiquement, le risque serait plus grand dans les sujets pauvres, et surtout ceux qui sont conducteurs eux-mêmes.
Last December, the government announced a new law aimed at France au revoir. For the first time, the age of imported cars will now be limited to 7 years. The rule will ban the majority of the more than 20,000 used vehicles arriving in Abidjan each year.
Les gens ne peuvent plus acheter de nouvelles voitures. Les salaires sont bloqués depuis 20 ans, 27 ans, voire 30 ans.
Doua Gouli is an award-winning economic and political journalist. He says the car culture responsible for rising air pollution will be difficult to change.
Si la voiture devient une nécessité pour exercer mieux sa profession, pour s'épanouir, on est obligé de se ruer vers ce que le salaire peut obtenir à son niveau actuel. c'est les véhicules qui font se revoir.
Part of the problem is that used cars require more maintenance. And in a country where the average income is around $2 a day, tune-ups simply aren't a priority, according to mechanic Ahmed Wedraogo.
Ils font pas l'entretien, c'est difficile pour eux. L'entretien, les pièces coûtent excessivement cher. Ceux qui n'en ont pas les moyens, ils payent des huiles qui ne sont pas homologuées au moteur.
And at $5 a gallon, they can't afford quality gasoline either. Across the city, street dealers sell illegal fuel that is cheaper but has a greater environmental cost. As the government looks for new ways to fight the problem, the debate has become widespread, especially at the Sorbonne, a political arena where intellectuals and activists discuss the most pressing issues of the day.
Nous disons que les véhicules France au revoir sont une conception typiquement ivoirienne. L'État peut prendre simplement un décret pour dire qu'à compter d'aujourd'hui, on n'importe plus de véhicules France au revoir. Point. Ça, c'est une solution. Maintenant, la conséquence, est-ce qu'en supprimant les véhicules sans se revoir, quelle solution préconise pour ceux qui étaient détenteurs de cette activité?
On va s'asseoir, on ne pourra plus travailler, on sera à la maison.
Je vais compter avoir des voitures neuves pour tout le monde.
Beaucoup. Et quand c'est comme ça, l'économie, là, ça avance. Moi, par exemple, je paye l'impôt. Les enfants, ils arrivent à apprendre un peu la mécanique. Bon, si on ferme cette maison, ces enfants, ils seront à la maison, ils seront au chômage. Ils seront devenus des délinquants.
But the economic risks for the government are just as great. The importation of France au revoir generates up to $50 million in taxes each year.
Ce n'est pas du tout possible que l'État ivoirien se passe des taxes de France au revoir. Eux-mêmes, ils se rendront compte que les taxes qu'ils veulent chercher vont baisser. Les taxes vont baisser.
And the government cannot afford less revenue. The economy has been in decline since the start of the civil war in 2002. So much that Côte d'Ivoire recently joined a World Bank list of the poorest and most indebted countries.
L'État en ce moment traverse une crise. Le gouvernement a la bonne volonté de financer. Mais il manque le motivo.
They work out of a crumbling old schoolhouse. They have no radios, no computers. With 9 officers and 1 patrol car, they are asked to monitor a city of more than 3 million people.
Ah, celui qui est là-bas, là. On doit le prendre. En vrai.
Ça rend notre travail très difficile. Mais nous essayons quand même de faire. On ne peut pas rester là en train de dire on n'a pas les moyens, on n'a pas les moyens. Mais il faut faire quelque chose. Quand tu fais quelque chose, c'est à partir de là, quelqu'un d'autre peut dire qu'il fait déjà ça. Donc en lui donnant tel moyen, voilà ce qu'il peut faire.
And some help has come. 5 months ago, they received a new patrol car. A new office is under renovation. And equipment for measuring exhaust levels is expected to arrive soon. But for many, like Gouli, simply having the resources won't be enough.
Donc on ne peut pas dire que c'est la volonté politique n'est pas accrue, mais aussi c'est parce que y a le contexte même national qui est caractérisé, je le répète encore, par la corruption, la mauvaise manière, la malgouvernance.
In late 2006, foreign polluters illegally dumped 500 tons of toxic chemical waste at a trash site in the middle of Abidjan. 17 people died and thousands more were affected. They even brought international scrutiny to the pollution and corruption in Côte d'Ivoire.
Si vous prenez le meilleur policier américain et que vous le mettez en Côte d'Ivoire, il sera le dernier des policiers de Côte d'Ivoire parce qu'il va vivre dans le contexte et au bout d'un mois, il va oublier toute sa théorie américaine et il devient pire que les Ivoiriens. Parce que ce n'est pas les individus en tant que tels, mais c'est le contexte.
While the system may still be broken, Lieutenant Kofi seems determined to enforce the new environmental laws. Rich or poor, taxi or tow truck, if your car smokes, he will stop you without remorse.
Pour faire des omelettes, il faut casser les œufs.
C'est vrai.
Il fait du transport avec un véhicule qui pollue pour nourrir sa famille. Ça, c'est vrai. Mais détruire la nature de sa famille, ça en est encore un problème. Et ça, vous voyez. Donc, il faut comparer les deux.
The stakes are high in Abidjan and the rest of Africa's big cities. Lieutenant Kofi and his colleagues are pioneers, the first green caps in a country and a continent just beginning to clean the air.
Ce que j'aime le plus en Côte d'Ivoire, c'est la nature, c'est la verdure. Dieu nous a donné ça. Il est à nous de les protéger. On y arrivera. Nous avons commencé. Mais ceux qui vont venir après nous arriveront.
What a conundrum. Tangled circumstances trying to come undone, someone said. We'll shut the doors. But if that happens, 400 pensions go out the window. And we already penny pension, it's just not that simple. Or is it? Something fishy is in the air, besides the emissions.
Berkeley parents and their children often visit the city's playgrounds for exercise and fresh air. But recent news has residents questioning, what exactly is in their air? A national study from USA Today placed West Berkeley schools in the top 2 percentiles for toxic air pollution.
I was surprised to learn that I lived in a steel town and had lots of questions about air quality in Berkeley and the role of Pacific Steel.
Pacific Steel Casting Company has been operating in West Berkeley for over 75 years. They employ over 400 workers in union wage jobs and are the third largest steel foundry in the U.S. The plant makes steel parts for use in machinery, construction, and other industries.
Pacific Steel and Casting came up very high, and one of the reasons is that in 2005, Pacific Steel and Casting emitted quite a bit of manganese. Manganese is a neurotoxin.
The plant will release nickel, chromium, and manganese, all heavy metals that can accumulate in the body and cause both acute and chronic health effects.
What it means is that at least the emissions times the relative toxicity of manganese said that that source is worthy of more study. That would be EPA's interpretations.
Spurred on by the study, community members marched on Pacific Steel. The protest was yet another round of the continuing struggle that's been going on for over 20 years. Pete Castelli attended the protest.
Children are the most vulnerable to any type of environmental contaminants. And I have a 4.5-year-old daughter and a 2.5-year-old son, and they're going to be going to these local schools. I meet people who tell me, my daughter has cancer, my son has asthma.
Per Michaels lives 3/4 of a mile from Pacific Steel. She says her 3-year-old daughter developed repeated respiratory problems and was once hospitalized for 3 days.
She would have, really hard time breathing. And after that happened once or twice, it became so bad that she had to go to the emergency room.
Michaels' concerns led her to found a group called MAMA, or Mothers and Others Measuring Metals in the Air. MAMA is concerned that dust and fumes from the plant contain heavy metal particles that are contributing to their kids' asthma.
We talked to other parents in the neighborhood, and we started to realize that a lot of parents had kids with asthma. We started to do some research, and we found out that West Berkeley has one of the highest rates of hospitalization for childhood asthma in the nation.
In 2007, air testing in West Berkeley by the group Global Community Monitor found elevated levels of manganese and nickel.
All of the emissions levels that reach the air are below government standards. I mean, there are very strict standards about what you can emit into the air.
The Bay Area Air Quality Management District monitors emissions from Pacific Steel and other facilities. They also issue operating permits and respond to odor complaints from the public.
Pacific Steel has been in operation for quite some time in the West Berkeley area. They have had a history with the Air District as far as odor complaints and things of that nature. But as far as their emissions go and their adherence to emissions limits within the structure of their air quality permit, they meet those requirements.
But Andrew Galpern questions the ability of the Air District to monitor Pacific Steel. Galpern lived a few blocks away from the company for 5 years. His apartment was one of the very few places he could find that was wheelchair accessible.
Not so much longer after I moved in, I would smell things in the morning when I would go out to go to school or wherever I was going, and I couldn't figure out what it was. What I did is I made my way down to Pacific Steel, that whole neighborhood, and it's like, oh, that's the smell.
Galpern called the Air District to complain about the smells, but was frustrated with the complaint process.
So, taking a left, and there's the smell, actually, of course, right next to the place.
Describe it.
It's a burning, plastic, sweet kind of smell.
You'd have to wait for an hour or more if the inspector shows up at all. The inspector has to smell it with you and agree with you about how it smells and how strong it is, and then they have to find their way back to the factory to verify the source.
So there's probably an inspector on Second Street every day. And that person is very familiar with Pacific Steel and also with odors, not only from Pacific Steel, but, this is an industrial corridor. There are lots of sources.
In fact, the Air District monitored a few blocks away from the plant throughout 2008. They concluded that the greatest cancer risk in the area was from diesel particulate matter, benzene, and 1,3-butadiene, all known to come from cars, trucks, and buses. The implied message was that the culprit was freeway traffic next to Pacific Steel. Jewell says this proved that Pacific Steel was not to blame, but Michaels questions the study's accuracy, saying that manganese should have been tested more often.
Is there a reason why the metals aren't monitored 24 hours?
The technology doesn't exist at this point to directly read metals continuously.
It's very difficult to talk to people who reject science, who are not willing to listen to data, not judgments, who have already made up their mind.
Michaels and other residents feel they can't trust the government when it comes to Pacific Steel, citing conflicts of interest between Pacific Steel, the Air District, and the City of Berkeley.
I think we need to have a defensible set of data from a credible firm, and I think we should employ them so that they work for us and only us.
Air District officials say that monitoring cannot measure Pacific Steel's emissions alone, nor the cumulative risk from the freeway and other sources.
It is not collecting only what's coming from Pacific Steel casting. It's collecting data from what's coming from the freeway, for what's coming from traffic on Gilman, what's coming from everybody's homes as far as, are they burning wood? Are they driving a dirty car? All of those things that impact the West Berkeley area.
With a community united in its distrust of the government that is supposed to protect them, and a company at the end of their rope saying it's done everything it can do, the conflict seems like it's here to stay. So for now, everything's up in the air.
What drives a person to run into a burning building? What drives a man to leave a newlywed wife and children? For flames dance, deadly and entrapping, wrapping an aqua curtain around the blaze of spasm, casting, fear, loss, injury, even death aside, saving homes, animals, lives, and the countryside.
I think he lost an arm.
The body may not be real, but don't tell these CAL FIRE recruits that it's only a drill. Their jobs are on the line. Virtually all of CAL FIRE's permanent fire employees, nearly 5,000 of them, will come through Ione at least once in their careers. Most will receive their basic training here. Chief Kevin Guerrero oversees the training on the fire ground.
Welcome to Ione.
This is the Firefighter Academy. You will be lined up, as you are now, on time. Early is on time. On time is
in 6 weeks, this class of 40 students will reach the department's minimum standards.
2 weeks of training, you will be here early.
Though designed to teach basic skills, lessons learned often go beyond firefighting.
You're not worried about that past one, huh?
I know.
I mean, that's kind of... And then the other thing, a missing arm? Oh, come on. I'm like, I think he's missing an arm. I couldn't tell
you. Company D has just spent 30 minutes blindfolded, pulling a dummy through 50 feet of obstacles.
You know, since we had a victim...
Mike Perez is from the Central Valley town of Atwater. His department was absorbed by CAL FIRE. Here at the academy, he's part of Company D. They'll fight fire... Eat, sleep, live, and even work out together.
10, 9, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10,
He started with CAL FIRE years ago when they were called California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection.
What do you think of the term brush bunny?
Old school. It's an old school term.
What did it mean?
That you were strictly a wildland person. We would go, you know, we'd see the city people or firefighters, and they would call us brush bunnies, and we'd call them pavement queens and city slickers. And when I started, we didn't go to medical aids, and we had two sets of turnouts, one large, one small. I mean, it's great to show that CAL FIRE is an all-risk agency, from the Mexican border to the Oregon border to the Nevada border to the Pacific Ocean. We're California's fire department.
Urban areas pushing into the traditionally wildland environment is nothing new, nor are the fires that dominate summer headlines. But the consequence is now more apparent.
In areas that are typically were wildland areas are now we have high-rise hotels and casinos and such. You know, our department's mission has gone from what used to be Division of Forestry, Department of Forestry, Department of Forestry and Fire Protection to CAL FIRE. We've changed our name, you know, four times. So that's kind of indicative of what's going on with our mission.
That mission means more responsibility in more places with more people's lives at risk. In this nighttime drill, Company D must advance on a propane tank, turn the valve off, and return without getting burned to death.
No cadence, guys, no cadence. Nice and smooth.
Again, the tank may be a prop, but don't tell these guys it's just a drill. They must keep the curtain of water intact for protection. Precision and trust are key. The water curtain will protect the firefighter's hand as he reaches in to turn the valve off. Now they must also move back as a team, keeping the water curtain between them and the fire. Team building is vital to this job. Vigorous training physically prepares the students for the job. It can also prevent some from making it through.
Nurse says that I have a torn ligament in my knee, that I should probably get it looked at. Probably be a good idea to head home.
Sorry for the interruption.
Oh, no, that's okay.
I'm sorry, man.
It's hard, you know. Well, I've been here for 4 weeks, and then, you know, some of these guys are, it's hard. See that tear well in it?
This morning I saw you, and I asked you, you limping?
No.
And you told me, nope.
No.
And you kept going.
Sign of weakness. I don't want to show any weakness, but it was hurting. So, I mean, it's a guy thing, too, you know, you don't want to show amongst the guys, you don't hug, and you don't, you know, it's a guy thing, you know, don't quit, you never quit.
Today we lost two on medical issues.
Yeah. Yep. What do they say to you? Do they come to you first?
They're afraid that they've let us down as instructors. They're afraid they've let their class down, which really, you know, that's kind of one of those things we try to teach here is take those 40 individuals and make them one cohesive class. And in a real fire situation, you know, when they get out there, they're going to be thinking about their partner. They're going to be thinking about their other crews, and that's part of the learning experience. So
successful. They may not have graduated the academy, but we're still successful in planting the seed.
But with the evolution of the department, is something lost. From its humble beginning as an agency responsible for the wildland, the state's current responsibility area now demands more. Gone are the green and khaki uniforms and a generation of men and women who saw the department through its first years of major transition.
Years ago when I first started in the 70s, nobody wanted to work. We only got $300 a month.
Ken retired 2 years ago, but returns as an assistant instructor here.
The kids from the urban areas didn't want to work out here. They didn't want to get dirty, didn't want to get full of smoke and be up for an ungodly amount of hours. But you'd get the kids that came off the farm, the young ladies that have been out riding horses and worked on the ranches, and the guys who've baled hay, who've driven truck and things of that sort. So they were used to hard work and very physical work. We're getting a lot of people coming in that are from the urban area, and they're more of a mental, they're more of a thinker than a physical person. So it's a lot different. There's a different group of people coming in, I feel.
For some, the training is bittersweet.
Are you having fun?
Not really.
Why? What's on your mind?
Just getting through it and getting back to my unit and actually going to calls and getting to see my family a little bit more. By the time I get out of here, I will have spent 3 months of the 9 months I've been married in Ione seeing my wife for 48 hours a week, maybe, if I'm lucky.
Raising ladder! 6 weeks of drills comes down to minutes, steps, and nerves.
Lock, both sets!
I mean, their job's on the line. Their family's ladder. Waiting for them to come home. There's a lot of pressure.
Of the 40 that started, not all graduated.
It's a very short, compact class. We have to all be willing to look them in the eye or look their families in the eye or look their bosses in the eye so they're ready. So that's not something to take lightly.
Remember, times are tough right now in the economy. Be very appreciative of the jobs we have. And just think about that. There's a lot of people without work. You guys just landed a very good job.
So, the way I see it, we have graduation tomorrow. But there is one thing missing. And that's ringing the bell. We got one. Go get it. Go!
The last one, see you right there.
Job famine, farms are abandoned, families get stranded, hold the reservoir for ransom. Got me out here rain dancing, it's far from handsome. If this is opportunity's lands, then how come I ain't advancing? Scared of me expanding? Is this a part of some planning? Already stole where I'm standing, now my growth is banded? Damn.
Y todos los que estamos aquí en este Valle de San Joaquín, ¿qué? Es donde más necesitamos la ayuda.
Yo nomás digo
que venga y vea.
Every Monday, a group of Feuerbach farm workers and workers' wives meet to plan community events. But these days, there's only one topic on everyone's minds.
Los bancos de comida se están viniendo para acá. ¿Por qué? Porque miren que uno necesita. Personas que tenían profesión 12, 13 años que tienen trabajos, los están desempleando.
In the past year, Feuerbach has seen a rise in unemployment to almost 35%. And all around the city, almost 400,000 acres of farmland sit dry.
De este valle es que el trabajo es pura agricultura. ¿Sí? Esa es la realidad de este lugar. Si no hay agricultura, no hay trabajo.
Rosalba Linares came from Mexico to Feuerbach 7 years ago, along with her husband and three children. Since then, she has mainly worked on tomato farms.
El año pasado nos recortaron muchas horas de trabajo porque había poco tomate. Este año, pues, estamos viendo que se está plantando menos tomate. No sé la temporada cómo vaya a estar.
Nearly everyone in Feuerbach shares Rosalba's sense of uncertainty. The valley is in its third year of a devastating drought. and it's feeling the effects of a federally mandated cut in water pumped from the San Joaquin-Sacramento Delta. The mandate, part of the Endangered Species Act, was meant to protect the fish in the Delta. But the drought plus the federal restrictions are putting the future of agriculture in doubt.
Pues estamos ahorita establecidos todavía aquí porque mi esposo, aunque sea poco trabajo, todavía lo ha tenido. Pero en un momento dado de que la situación se ponga más difícil, pues tal vez tengas que buscar otras alternativas, tal vez irte a otro lugar.
This past March, for the first time, the Federal Bureau of Reclamation declared a 0% allocation to agriculture. In effect, no water from the Delta would go towards farms in the district surrounding Firebaugh. Many farmers are forced to fallow their fertile land.
And that's what we do out here. We feed people. We grow all the different things that everybody eats.
Sean Coburn has been farming in this region for the last 15 years. This year, he has left almost 1,800 acres unused.
I've cut back on everything. I'm not growing anything at all. No tomatoes, no garlic, no onions, no cantaloupes.
In order to save his almond orchards, he's decided to drill for well water at a cost of $700,000 per well.
Recently, with the cutoff on water, a lot of farmers are putting in their own wells. We are almost nonstop. We have at least a year's worth of work on the books.
There's about 600 acres of almonds that are serviced by this filter, and if we can't get the well water up online, they're all going to die. The bad part is if I pump well water on them for a couple years straight, I'm probably going to kill them anyway because the well water is high in boron and it's high in sodium.
Coburn is one of the few farmers who has kept all his workers on payroll, but he says that it's getting harder and harder.
Normally my guys would work 5 or 6 days a week. A lot of times we're working 4 days and taking 3-day weekends, just trying to stretch payroll as far as I can.
Juan Walian has been working for Coburn for the last 20 years. While his work is steady for now, he says workers are doing whatever they can to hold on to their jobs.
Están trabajando. Una semana les dan trabajo a unos 8, otras trabajan, descansan uno y otros descansan otros, y así estamos trabajando. Mira, ¿sabes qué? Yo tengo mi esposa enferma y necesito que me des un poquito más trabajo. Yo puedo trabajar 2 semanas y que descanse otras 2 semanas otro trabajador, y después yo, la que ya se cure mi señor, entonces yo descanso y que trabajen otros.
One of the things that we noticed and we found out early on is that this is something that we need to lead the charge on and that we need to make things happen.
You are the most hardest working people on the first of these earth, the most respected, the farm workers. You feed the world.
On April 17th, over 8,000 farmers, farm workers, companies, and supporters completed a 4-day march that culminated at the San Luis Reservoir. They rallied to convince the government to lift the restrictions on pumping.
So if we're able to make noise in their backyards, like the legislators, and let the country know, then there is more pressure on our elected officials to do the right thing.
And right here today, you have the world's attention. Right here today, we are putting the spotlight on this very important issue. We are here today, and together we say, we need water. We need water. We need water.
Unfortunately, a lot of my employees left the rally thinking that the governor was going to do something about it, and he's not. He can't. It's not a state issue. It's a federal issue.
The rally did gain enough attention for the government to increase water allocation to 10%. But most farmers say it's too little, too late. Under the Federal Endangered Species Act, it's virtually impossible to significantly lift the pumping restrictions. Coburn says the act fails to consider the disaster that could occur for California agriculture.
You know, if we can't come to some type of balancing act between the Endangered Species Act and some way with which we can work within that to still keep ag viable in California, you know, We're destined to go down a road of basically having to source all our food from a foreign country.
For farm workers, the complexity of the water battle translates into something very simple: maintaining a family with less money.
Y los tienes que limitar a ellos también.
No zapatos nuevos, no ropa nueva tan seguido, o sea que uno como padre tiene que ver primero la prioridad, lo que son la renta, la luz, la comida.
Like most farm workers, going back to Mexico is not an option. Working conditions there are even worse.
Me gusta estar aquí, pues ahorita es el trabajo de mi esposo y la escuela de mis hijos. No sé, tal vez dentro de un año, si la situación no mejora, pues tenga uno que emigrar junto con los muchachos a...
El futuro, como le dije hace unos momentos, solamente Dios y las personas que tienen el poder en sus manos de abrir aquellas llaves, si acaso, si es que la hay. Y si no la hay, entonces no sé qué vamos a hacer.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.